Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Beitz Daf Lamed Dalet. We left off in Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis at the two dots, three lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by Laser and Linda Schicker with tremendous Hakaras Hatov in honor of the third birthday of their granddaughter. She should have many, many more in good health. Also by Karen Benson in the Zechus of a complete and immediate Refuah Shleima for Simcha Ben Human. I assume Binyamin, Ben Yocheved, who's having surgery today on the 28th of Tishrei, Shav Rufo Shalema Pesach Shar Chal Yisrael, and also by Ben Kalish in memory of Melech Yonah Ben Yidl Dov, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to pick up with the discussion of why it is that one is not allowed to heat up tiles on Yom Tov. The Gemara is going to give two possible reasons why one is not allowed to do that, and then there are going to be two halachic ramifications of those reasons in other areas of halacha, including whether we're machzik reyusa on Yom Tov. Do we assume that there's a chance of a problem with something on Yom Tov, or a higher chance of a problem with something on Yom Tov, and therefore we're not going to take as many risks with chilul Yom Tov? Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about another leniency of Rabbi Lazar in Hilchos Muktzah, not only about taking a toothpick and not only about gathering wood, a third leniency of Rabbi Lazar in Hilchos Muktzah, and it relates to the status of fruit that is drying. And then the Gemara is going to discuss whether Shabbos is koveya lemaiser. Normally, in order when something is not yet brought into the house, when produce not yet been brought into the house, you're allowed to eat an achilas arai, but not an achilas keva. But what if Shabbos comes? Does Shabbos make everything into an achilas keva? So the answer is yes, normally yes, but what if it's a lo nigmar melachto? Is Shabbos makes something in Achilas Keva even when you haven't even gomered the malacha of preparing the produce in the field? So the Gemara is going to bring a raya to that issue from our Mishnah. So let's begin again at the two dots on the bottom of Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. So the Gemara again is discussing what the Mishnah said. Ve'in melabdin nesara afim. The Mishnah said you're not allowed to heat up tiles. These are tiles that they would roast fish on, or they would roast meat on. They would put something in. They would have very hot tiles, then they would put something on it in order to roast. So you're not allowed to heat up those tiles. Ma'ka avid. What malach are you doing when you heat up tiles? Why should that be usher to do on Yom Tov? So after all, ochel nefesh. You're allowed to roast the food on the tiles. Why can't you heat up the tiles themselves? Amar Rabbi Rechana. Rabbi Yochanan, hachabara afim chadosh maskinan. First answer is that we're talking about brand new tiles. And what's the issue with brand new tiles? Mimpesha tzaruch lebadkan. Because you still need to check, you still need to examine to make sure that they're able to handle the heat and that they're not going to break from the heat. So you can't roast with such tiles because you have to be choshish that they might break from the heat. And it turns out that everything you did was a tareach, shalol tzaruch, and you're not allowed to have excessive tircha on Yom Tov, shalol tzaruch. So if you're going to heat up tiles, you have to know that those tiles can handle it so that it will actually help in the ochel nefesh. But if you don't know that they can handle it, so the whole effort is going to be for naught, and that's going to be a violation of tircha yisera on Yom Tov. And some say that Rabbi Yochanan says that you're not allowed to heat up tiles for a different reason, not because you need to check that they can handle the heat, but mipnei shetzaruch l'chamsan. The tiles need to be hardened by being preheated, and therefore, even if you need it for Yom Tov purposes to roast on these tiles, since it's becoming a kli by heating it up, by its hardening and becoming a kli by heating it up, that's what you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. It's tikkun mana on Yom Tov. But if you have old tiles that don't require any bedika, they don't require any test, you know that they're going to work, or they're already hardened, and therefore you don't need to harden them any further, so then you're allowed to heat up the tiles on Yom Tov to your heart's content. That's how Rashi understands. The Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Yom Tov writes, Bistam, just that you're not allowed to be Malabin Ra'afim Kedei Litzos Al Gabeim, that you're not allowed to heat up tiles in order to roast on them. Sounds from the Rambam that there's no exception to the Isser, meaning the simple reading of the Gemara is that the whole Isser is only if it's new tiles, but if it's old tiles where they've been proven to be able to withstand heat and they've already hardened, there should be no issue. You don't have either of the concerns. The Rambam sounds like he paskins that it's always going to be us. Asir. So the Magid Mishnah says, you know, if you look carefully at the Gemara only mentioned the idea of new tiles within the first approach, within the idea that Tzarech Lebatkan, but within the idea that it still needs to be hardened, the Gemara made no mention of new tiles. So the Magid Mishnah understands that the Rambam's paskening like the second Lashon, and he learns that Ra'afim Chadashim is only din in the first Lashon. But according to the second Lashon, according to the second answer, even old tiles are Asr. Aye, but they're already hardened, but they're going to harden even more. So it's a further Tikkun Mana. Tikkun Mana is not only when you make something usable, but when you make it more usable, when you make it stronger, when you make it better, and that's going to be a violation of Tikkun Mana. So while Tzarech Lebatkan would only be a concern if it's new tiles and old tiles would not be a concern, Tzarech L'chamson is a concern even on old tiles, and according to the Rambam. And that's why the Rambam says that you're not allowed to heat up these tiles at all. Okay, good. So that's the machlokas. Two different opinions why you're not allowed to heat up tiles. Now we're going to have two ramifications of this discussion. So number one is the following. Outside of Hilchos heating up tiles and then these kinds of halachos of ochel nefesh. Tana Nasam, we have a Mishnah in Maseches Chulin that tells us as follows. Durasa, if a person tramples on a bird or a behema with his feet, he stomps on it. Osha tarfa, or he throws it against bakosel, he throws it against the wall. Osha ritzatzta behemah mefarcheses, or he hits with a lot of force, he hits a behema, and then it's still mefarcheses, it's not able to stand, it's wobbly, because he just decked this animal, so you have to be choshesh when it went through these types of traumatic experiences, that there's something called risuk evarim. One of the types of trefos is not a simple type of trefo to identify. Most of the trefos, if you look and you know where to look, you can identify the trefos. Risuk evarim just means it's like it's shaken up. It's been shaken up too much, and therefore you need to wait me'es la'es to see that the animal will survive before you can shecht it, because you have to be choshesh for risuk evarim. So if it went through, but if the animal went through one of these experiences and then v'shasa me'es la'es, and then it lasted 24 hours and it seems okay, and then you shecht it, kshera, so it's going to be kosher. Because if it really had risuk evarim, it would not have lived 24 hours. Most trefos, we assume, it could live for way more than 24 hours. It could live up until 12 months, typically, with most trefos. But risuk evarim is such a traumatic experience that at the time of the trauma, we assume it's going to die. And if it doesn't die within 24 hours of the trauma, so we assume then it didn't have risuk evarim. If you shecht it before you waited 24 hours, even if you then did all the bedikos for all the trefos, you look for all the simani trefa, doesn't help, because the chashash of risuk evarim is still a concern. You're not going to be able to identify the trefa of risuk evarim. That's always going to be there. Rashi writes in Chulin that as far as this trefa, this particular issue of risuk evarim, afal pi she'ein shever nireba, even though there's nothing that looks broken, and he says ve'ein tam betrefa shalach l'moshe misinayim, you can't really explain it. It's halach l'moshe misinai that these are the dinim of trefa. Amra blazer rabbi yadim mishum rabbi blazer ben antigonus. It happens to be the Meloah Rome says that that's probably backwards, because everywhere else in Shas it's always rabbi blazer ben antigonus in the name of rabbi blazer rabbi yadim, so it probably should be flipped. So someone says in the name of somebody that even though it's been alive for 24 hours after going through this trauma, tzricha bedika, you still need to check it after shechita, because yes, it survived for 24 hours, so now you don't have to worry that it had this trefa of risuk evarim, because that you can't check for, but you still have to worry that maybe you broke all of its ribs, or maybe you snapped its spine, or one of the other simani trefas that it could live with for 12 months. So waiting 24 hours doesn't help for the other types of trefas. It only helps for risuk evarim. So now the Gemara says, what about the following? What if the animal, you punched the animal in the face and it was all wobbly, and then you waited 24 hours? 24 hours is up on Yom Tov. Are you allowed to shecht such an animal on Yom Tov? Do you assume that since there's a reyusa in the kashrus of the animal, there's a reason to be concerned beyond the normal concerns of treifa. There's an extra reason to be concerned this animal might be a treifa, so it might be that you're doing malacha on of shechting this animal for no reason. Mimechaskin and reyusa, do we assume that there's a very likely going to be a problem biyomtov, and we have to make that assumption because of the chumrah of the yisra of malachas yomtov, because you're going to turn out, you're going to do a bedika for a treifa, and it's going to turn out that it is a treifa, it's going to turn out that you did malacha on Yom Tov. The reason we shecht other animals on Yom Tov, even though there's a possibility that it's a treifa, is because most behemoths aren't treifos. There's no reason to assume most behemoths are treifos. But over here, there's reason to assume something's wrong. Oh, lo, or maybe we don't have to be machzik reyasa, and you're able to shecht it. The Meiri writes that there are those that have a suffix even on a weekday, meaning with the same studim of this suffix, meaning we're saying, do we have to assume that there's a higher likelihood of a treifa problem? Says Miri, that could have ramifications not just whether you're allowed to shecht on Yom Tov, but in terms of halachsa of shechita on a weekday as well. Because normally we have a klal that kolamitz was kulam varchan aleihen over las yasin, right? What was the sukkah lamites? That you always make a bracha on the beginning of Pesach Moshe, you always make a bracha on a mitzvah over las yasin. But if there's a high likelihood that it's going to turn out to be a bracha levatala, that you're not going to end up doing the mitzvah, so then maybe it's not such a good idea to do it over las yasin. Maybe you want to make sure it works out first before you say the bracha. It's machlokas Rishonim, whether one should say a birchas erisin prior to the erisin or after the erisin, right? Is the concern that it's tali b'das acherim. A guy is going to say a birchas erisin. Let's assume it's the chasen's bracha. Let's assume it's a birchas mitzvah. He's going to say the birchas erisin. Then he's going to say a rem gedash b'tavas gedas moshav yisrael. She's going to say on second thought, and then she's going to walk away, and then he's going to be stuck, you know, with a bracha without any kala. So the Rambam writes, you always say it before the Erisin. You don't have such concerns. But other Rishonim are concerned. So we have that when there's reason to be concerned that you're not going to be able to follow through. So sometimes we're so concerned you're not going to be able to follow through, there's no bracha at all. So the Rashba writes in the Tshuva that there's no bracha on giving tzedakah because the person may not be mekabel tzedakah. So we're concerned, we're so concerned that you're not going to be able to follow through, it's tali b'das acherim, that we don't say a bracha at all. But sometimes, you're going to say the bracha, just hold off, make sure it's successful first. So maybe, when it comes to a weekday, says the Meiri, maybe when an animal had this traumatic experience and there's more of a concern for a treifa, maybe you shouldn't say the bracha on the shechita over las yasan, because the animal might turn out to be a treifa and turns out you didn't really do the mitzvah of shechita. So maybe you should wait until you're able to be bodek the simani treifa and then say the bracha. It's a big chiddush that you're able to say the bracha after it takes a little while to check for all the treifas. So you're going to first say the bracha on the shechita at that point, after so much after, even when you don't do it, you don't say a bracha exactly over las yasan, you know, still while you're in the process. You know, we wash netilas yadayim and we say a bracha val netilas yadayim, but we're still in the process. It's kodem niguv, it's before we dry our hands, we're still in the process of the netilas yadayim. So that big chiddush that the Miri has. But he suggests that this suffix may even relate to non-Yom Tov. But again, in our Gemara, we're discussing Yom Tov. So we're discussing, can you shecht such an animal that had this traumatic experience and then survive for 24 hours? Can you shecht it on Yom Tov or not? Do we have to be concerned that maybe it's going to be it's a higher likelihood of being a treifa, and it turns out that you left shechted for no reason? So Amar Leh, so why are we discussing all this? Because the answer comes from our Mishnah. Tanina, Ein Malavna Sarafim Litzelspen. Our Mishnah said that you're not allowed to heat up tiles to roast them on Yom Tov. Avinu Maikavid, and the Gemara that we started with today asked, what's the problem? What are you doing? And we had two possibilities. That the problem is that they haven't been tried and tested. You don't know that they're going to be able to withstand the heat, or if they're going to break from the heat. So you're choshish that they might break, and then it will turn out that you're a tareach on Yom Tov. Shelo litzarech, you're a tareach for no reason. So because of the chumrah of malachas Yom Tov, we assume the worst. We assume the concern that they're going to break, and therefore it's asur to be malabin them. So the same thing when it comes to an oaf that was trampled on. That we should assume the worst and assume that it's a treifa, and don't risk a chil Yom Tov in the shechita, because it it may be that that it's going to be a treifa. So Rabbi Yirmi responded, that's not necessarily poshet the shaila, because anan mipnei shetzarach lechasman masinin ala. We had a second explanation of the Mishnah, of our Mishnah also. Not that we're assuming the worst, but simply that you have to that the tile still needs to be hardened by the heat, so it's a violation of tikkun mana, and that has nothing to do with the treifas issue that we bring up in Maseches Chulin. So that's not necessarily a raya. So now the Gemara says, let's try to bring another case where this discussion plays a role. Tanya, echad mevias ha'ur, ve'echad mevias ha'etzim, ve'echad shofes ha'sakadera, ve'echad mevias ha'mayim, ve'echad nosim tov ha'tavlin, ve'echad megas. They cook in a team effort. A team of people cooks together. So what do? They divide up the labors among them. One guy is going to bring the wood, the other one is going to put the pot on the fire. One guy's going to bring the fire, one guy's going to bring the wood, one guy's going to bring a pot and put it on the fire, one guy's going to bring the water, and one guy's going to put spices in the water, another person is going to mix everything around. So kulam chayavim, they're all chayav for the yisur of bishul b'shabbos. They're all in violation of malacha, or not for bishul, but they're all in violation of some sort of malacha on Shabbos. The guy who brought the fire is violating mavir, because as you carry fire, the coal sparks up a little bit, and just from the breeze that's created as you're moving it, and that's a violation of the malach of mavir. The guy who brings the wood and puts it on the fire is fueling a fire. Obviously, that's mavir. As you fuel an existing fire, that is a violation of mavir. We're only allowed to do that in Yom Tov because you're allowed to do havara on Yom Tov l'tzorach ochel nefesh. But on Shabbos, obviously, it's a violation of mavir. The guy that takes an empty pot and puts it on the fire, that one we'll get to soon, exactly what he's doing. The fellow who's putting water and tavlinim into the pot on the fire, that's bishul, that's not malacha of bishul. Person who's stirring the pot, also makariv bishulo. He's making a cook more quickly, and therefore it's also a violation of bishul. V'atanya, we have another brisa that says that achron chayv v'kulin paturin. Wait a second, we have another brisa that says that only the last guy's chayv. Everybody else is going to be potter. Isn't that a stira to the first brisa? Aside from being a stira to the first brisa, it also doesn't make any sense, l'chora. Right? What do you mean only the last guy's chayv? The guy who does havara, the guy who takes wood and throws wood into the fire, is not going to be chayiv? How do you make any sense out of that? Only the achron is chayiv. So says Mar Lo Kasha. Hadaisi ur meyakara, hadaisi ur lebesof. It all depends what order all of these things were brought in. If the last step in the process was striking the match, it was lighting the fire after the pot was ready on and the food was ready in and it was already stirred and the wood was already there. So yeah, then only the last guy is going to be chayv because no one did anything. Someone brought wood and didn't put it in a fire. He just put it there. So he did muktzah, yeah, but he didn't do any malacha. Someone takes an empty pot, puts it on a pile of wood. Okay, nothing. Food in the pot, nothing still. Stirring food in a pot, no fire, no cooking, nothing. It's only the last person lights the fire under the pot with the food in it. So he's the one that's going to be chayv. A question whether the other people are in violation of some sort of issur d'rabbanan. Okay, but certainly on a Raisa level, they're not in violation of anything. That's an important point what the Gemara is making over here. A lot of times people get confused when it comes to Bishul Akum, that they assume that you need a Yisrael to participate in the Bishul, but the definition of Bishul is when there's already heat, meaning if you could do a million things before there's any heat involved, that is not Jewish participation in the Bishul. So a woman says, I prepared the whole dish with the chicken and I spiced it and everything and it's in the 9x13, all the housekeeper has to do is turn on the oven and put the raw chicken in the oven. That means the housekeeper is doing bishul. It doesn't matter how much preparatory work you did and how many things you did in advance to prepare the food. That's a violation of bishul. Yet, when something is on the fire already, housekeeper did all the preparation, did everything, and prepared everything, and even put it on the fire, and you just raised the fire a little bit. Now you participated in the bishul, and a little bit of Jewish participation in the bishul solves all bishul akum problem, because bishul is when heat comes in contact with the food and begins and affects the change in the food. But anyway, so that's how the Gemara is miyashiv the two brises. But what does this have to do with our sugya? Because bishul makuluk avdi maisa, I understand what everybody is doing. At each stage in the process, they're all doing a maisa that is a violation of a malach on Shabbos, whether it be mavir, whether it be bishul. Elishovis is kedera my kavod. The fellow who brought the empty pot and put it on the fire, what did he do exactly? What melacha did he violate? So Amar Rav Shimon Lakish Hacha B'Gedera Chadasha Askinan. We're talking about where it's a brand new pot. And it's whatever you violate when you heat up tiles, he's violating by putting a brand new pot on the fire. The same gzeira that you're not allowed to heat up tiles in order to harden it. He's hardening the brand new empty pot. It's becoming a kli by him putting it there. That's how Rashi understands. And Magen Mishnah writes, based on what we said before, to explain the Rambam who asks even old tiles, because he explains that when the Gemara says over here that. That it's only usher with a new pot. That's only the man diomer shetzarich lebodkan. But if it were an old pot, then but in the man diomer that shetzarich lechamsan, if you hold that the issue is that it's hardening, it could be new world. It wouldn't make a difference, right? Meaning Rashi understands that the difference between new and old applies according to both reasons. The Rambam understands that no, the difference between new and old is only if it's tzarich lebodkan. But if it's about hardening it, then the Rambam understands that would apply equally to new and old pots. Okay, now the Gemara brings two brises that discuss more issues relating to tikkun kli. Tan Rabbanan, Tan Rabbi Kiraim Chadashim. If you have even new ovens, certainly old ones, but even new ovens that you really shouldn't be baking in on Yom Tov because you're going to be hardening the actual oven on Yom Tov, and it's going to be tikkun mana of the Yom Tov, of the oven. Harein kakala kelim anitalim b'chatzer. You're allowed to be metal to them in the chatzer, since you could use them to keep things inside there. You could use them just as a receptacle, even though you're not allowed to use them as an oven, because it's going to be a violation of tikkun mana on Yom Tov. Avalein sachno sam shemen, but you're not allowed to smear it with oil, which they would shine it up with oil sometimes. Vein tashno sam bematlis, you're not allowed to rub it with a shmata. Vein mefigino sam bitzonin kedei lechasman, after the oven has been heated up, you're not allowed to then soak it in cold water, because that will really harden it quickly. But if you want to cool it down and to lower the temperature in order that you could bake in it, because it's you're afraid the bread is going to burn, then areza mutter. Then you're allowed to do that on Yom Tov, because that's a basic ochel nefesh need. Tan Rabbanan, another brisa that continues to discuss issues of tikkun mana, that you could wash with the warm water molgin as a rosh as a raglayim. You're allowed to wash with warm water to remove the hair on the animal from the head and the legs of the animal. And you're also allowed to singe the hair off with fire, if that's your preferred method of removing the hair. But you should not use hair removal products to remove the hair, because that's more like being ma'abed, that's more like tanning the hide, which is also to do on Yom Tov. You're also not allowed to shear it using scissors, because that looks like you're doing a malacha of gozes. It looks like you need the hair, and that's why you're being gozes it. Vein gozen as a yarek, b'tisparashalo. You're also not allowed to be gozes a detached vegetable which has some rotted leaves on it or some withered leaves on it with the normal scissors that you would be gozes yarakos with. Meaning normally you would use these scissors to be gozes from the karka, to shear it off of the ground. To use that same tool, those same implements, to then cut off rotten leaves, even though it's not mechubar lekarka, so it looks like someone who sees is going to think that you were malakated that day because you're using the same utensils that you used to be malakate. Avol masaknin esakundus ve'esakovios, but you're masiknos ve'ofen bepurni. But you're allowed to prepare kundus and akovios, which are types of vegetables that involve a lot of tircha in cooking them, and also you're allowed to bake them in a purni, which is a large oven that has an open that opens on the side, and because it's very big, there's a lot of tircha involved, but still you're allowed to bake in such an oven that involves so much tircha, and we're not choshish for the tircha if you have a lot of guests where you're not going to be able to use a regular oven. And similarly, you're allowed to heat up hot food or hot water even in a large kli which involves a lot of tircha. but you're not allowed to bake in a new large oven because ruchoshesh shema tivchas. Ruchoshesh that the heat is going to break it, and it's going to turn out that it was a tarech shelo letzarech, that the tircha was for an unnecessary purpose. Tosos raises the question in Dibra Maskel Ve'enof, in that previously we said when it came to a kedera that if it's b'shvil lefels, but it's mutter even b'chadashima, we're not choshesh that shema tishaver. And Tosos says no, a porni, since it's so large, there's a greater chashash that it's going to break. The Rambam, when he describes, so what if it breaks, he says a little different than Rashi. Rashi says, oh, it's going to be a tircha shelo letzorech, and you don't want to have a tircha shelo letzorech. The Rambam, in third paragraph of Hilchos Yom Tov, says, no, we're choshesh, that the bread is going to become ruined, and then you're not going to be able to be nena from Simcha, you're not going to be able to have proper Simchas Yom Tov, because that's the bread you were relying on for Simchas Yom Tov, and if you don't know that the oven is reliable, and then it's not going to bake the bread properly, so then you're not going to be able to have Simchas Yom Tov. So it's a din in Simchas Yom Tov. A third brisa, Tan Rabbanan, ein novchin b'mapuach. You're not allowed to fan a flame with a fan because that looks like an uman doing his malacha. Avol novchin b'shvaferis. But if you take a straw and you just blow through the straw, that doesn't look like a maisa uman at all, and that you're allowed to do. Vein mesaknin es hashvud, vein mechadidin also. You're also not allowed to prepare a spit that you roast meat on, nor can you sharpen it. And this brisa seems to be assuming against Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds Machshirei Ochel Nefesh or Mutter. All of this seems to be Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. To prepare the spit, to sharpen it, to be able to roast the meat on it, is Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. Or it could be that we're talking about that it broke on Erev Yom Tov and you had enough time to have done this on Erev Yom Tov. Then even Rabbi Yehuda holds Machshirei Ochel Nefesh could be done on Yom Tov, but that's only when it had to be done on Yom Tov. If you could have done it before Yom Tov, even Rabbi Yehuda's mode that you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov. And then a final bright. So Tan Rabbanan, Ein Mefatzin Esakon Elitzos Bo Meliach. You're not allowed to break pieces of a reed in order to put under a maliach, under a salted piece of meat on a grill, in order that and the reason you would do it is that the fish should, you know, salted piece of fish, so that the fish shouldn't burn, because that's like you're making a kli, that you're using it in a way where it's like a kli. But if you have a gozim and you want to crack a lot of nuts at once, so sometimes hard to do one by one, so you put them all inside of a cloth, you put a bunch of nuts inside of a cloth, and you just take a hammer and just start smashing the cloth. So you have to be choshesh that the cloth is going to rip. So he said, no, you don't have to be choshesh. And even if it rips, it's no big deal, because it's not korea al menas litbar, it would only be korea midrabanan. Korea is only a problem when it's korea al menas litbar, which is interesting. The Rabbi Kiva Eger in the Gilyon HaShas over here says, what do you mean korea al menas litbar? There's a more, he says, kashli, mikol makom asim midrabanan. Korea shalom al menas litbar is at least Nisid Rabbanan. He says, I can give you a better reason why you're allowed to do this, where it wouldn't even be Nisid Rabbanan if it tears. V'amai lo kas of Rashi kipshuto da kaimel and Rabbi Shimon the davar shein miskavin mutter upsik reisha lavi davirat chashem etikra. You're not trying to rip the cloth when you're chopping all the nuts that are inside of the cloth. That makes it a davar shein miskavin. But it might happen. Yeah, that's why it's a davar shein miskavin. It might happen, but it might not happen. You can't call it upsik reisha. It's only a chashash that it might happen. And we pass on Rabbi Shimon that a davar shein miskavin, his mother, Rabbi Kiva Eger, leaves it as a kasha on Rashi, that why Rashi says that the reason you're allowed to chop the nuts wrapped in a cloth and you don't have to worry, Shema Tikra, is only because even if it's Korea, it's only in Issur Drabanan. We're concerned about Issur Drabanan also. So he could have given a better reason, that it's a davar shein miskavin, and it would be heter gomer even if it does rip. Okay, so that's Rabbi Kiva Eger's kasha. Now, new Mishnah. Va'odamer Rabbi Eliezer. In addition to the kulas we already learned in yesterday's daf from Rabbi Eliezer, that you could take a little toothpick from in front of you, a splinter to pick your teeth, and you're allowed to gather firewood from within your chatzar. Another kula. Omer Adam al Muksa. A person can stand where the figs and grapes are drying, and if they're ro'i la'achila right now, but not fully ro'i la'achila, that some people wouldn't eat them in their current state, so you need to be masmin them la'achila in order for them not to be considered muksa. So if you're standing there, ala mukta, you're right near where all this fruit is drying, so Erev Shabbos b'Shvi'is, and it's Erev Shabbos during a Shemitah year. Why is it important that it's a Shemitah year? Because if it were not a Shemitah year, you have Trumas and Maisos you have to worry about, but there's no Isur Tevel during the Shemitah year, so I guess Daf Yom HaKinsan during the Shemitah year. So all you have is the Isra of Mukta, so you need to just say that you want to use these peros in order that they shouldn't be muktzah. So Rabbi Elazar says, yeah, that's all you need to do. V'omer mikana niochal lemachar. You just say, from among these peros, I'm going to eat some of these peros tomorrow, and that's not a problem. You don't know exactly which peros you're going to choose to eat on Shabbos. Yeah, you don't know which ones, but huvar adavul mafreya. When you take them, then it will turn out. Those are the ones that you meant, that you were designating right now. But the chacham say, no. Ad sheyirshom, you have to mark them off, make a simin. V'omer mikan, v'yatkan, you have to do a maisa to say, these particular peros are the ones that I'm going to eat tomorrow, because the Chacham do not rely on Breira. So why don't they rely on Breira? The Meiri points out that normally when it comes to Dinim Drabanan, we do rely on Breira. So the Meiri says that in this situation, the peros are not royal lachilu, we're choshesh, that you might change your mind, you might not want to eat them. And even on a drabanan, we would say ein breira. But Rama says that that's why we pass like Rabbi Lazar over here, that this machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and the Chabim is whether you can rely on breira or not. The Rabbi Lazar says, yeah, you don't have to identify them, whichever ones you pick tomorrow. It's going to be breira, it's going to be whoever is over the mafreya. The Chabim say, no, you need to identify them, you're not allowed to rely on breira. Since we paskin that you're allowed to rely on breira for drabanan, so we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer over here, even though normally the Kalei HaPsak is that you would paskin like the Chachamim against Rabbi Eliezer. Over here, you paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, because that's the known halacha when it comes to prayer. That's what the Rama writes in Siman Tav Tzadihei Sif David. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to discuss whether Shabbos is Koveya Lemaiser, even when it's when something has not had a Gemara Malacha. So the halacha normally is on a Daraisa level, the Chiyuv of Trumas Maiser only kicks in at a Gemara Malacha. So you have to have a gemar malacha. You finished working with the produce and preparing it in the field, and you brought it into the house, or you brought it into the chatzer in the normal way. That's when it becomes chayv in Shumas Maisos. That's when it becomes real tevel. Midra is so midaraisa. You can eat as much as you want of it before you've had a gemar malacha and riyas pnei abayis. Midra banan, even without a gemar malacha and without a riyas pnei abayis, you're not allowed to eat an achilas keva. You're only allowed to eat an achilas arai until you take the maisos. So says the gemar tanan hasam. We have a mishnah when it comes to the chiyuv maiser by somebody that did not have riyas pnei abayis. If you have children that hid some figs out in the field before Trumas and Maisos were taken, may Erev Shabbos and Erev Shabbos with the plan to eat them on Shabbos. So since they designated them for eating on Shabbos, they become chayiv and meiser at that point, just through that designation. V'shachu v'lo isru, and then they forgot and they didn't take meisros. And on Shabbos itself, you're not allowed to take meisros. L'motzoi Shabbos l'yochlu elam kein isru. You're not allowed to eat that food on Motzoi Shabbos, even though it hasn't yet had a riyas pnei abayis yet, unless you take meisros. Why? Because once they're designated for Shabbos purposes, Shabbos is kova'as. That just like riyas pnei abayis makes it chayiv, makes it tevel, and therefore you're not allowed to eat even an achilas arai. So too, once Shabbos comes, even an achilas arai is considered an achilas keva, and therefore you're not allowed to eat from it even before it has a riyas pnei abayis. If it was designated for Shabbos food, utznan nami, and we have a mishnah also when it comes to the din of meiser when you haven't yet had a riyas pnei abayis. Hamaver te'inim b'chatzero lekatzos. If a person is spreading out figs in his chatzer, the chatzer is normally kaveh for meiser, just like Rias Pnei Abayis is, but he's only bringing it into the chatzer to dry them out, to make dried figs out of it, and then to make fig cakes out of it. So since his intention is to dry it, it's as if it doesn't have a gemar malacha yet. So even though it's had Rias Pnei Chatzer, you brought it into the chatzer, but it didn't have a gemar malacha. So it's potter, even though it's had Rias Pnei Chatzer. Banav Bnei Beso Ochel Men Arai Upturim. So the Banav Bnei Beso, his family members can eat an achilas arai from it, and Pater from Meiser, because the Chatzar is not Koveya just by Riyas Pnei Chatzar if it didn't have a Gemar Melacha. So here there's no Gemar Melacha, so the Chatzar doesn't work its magic. See, the Chatzar is only Koveya when there's been a Gemar Melacha on the produce. What about Shabbos? By Shabbos, when there's been a Gemar Malacha, we know Shabbos is Koveya. But we don't know whether Shabbos is Koveya even on something that's not Nigmar Malacha, right? We know Chatzir is Koveya when there is Nigmar Malacha and is not Koveya when it's not Nigmar Malacha. Shabbos is Koveya when there is Nigmar Malacha, but we don't know. Is Shabbos Koveya even on something that does not have a Gemar Malacha yet? So, Bamine Rav and Rav Nachman, Shabbos, Maosha Tikva Muktza, can Shabbos, Lemaiser, can Shabbos take something that's not yet a Gemar Malacha? It's being set out to dry, so it does not yet have a Gemar Malacha. But then Shabbos came and it was designated for Shabbos. So does that make it Tevel? Does that make it Chayv and Shumas and Maisos? But Dover Shlo Nigmar Malachto. Mi Amrina, and what are the Tzadim? Do we assume, given the Chsiv across the Shabbos Oneg, that since there's a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, so Achilas Shabbos is called an Oneg, so even an Achilas Arai is always going to be Chashav on Shabbos, and therefore Kava, that's always going to be Kaveya. You can't call it an Achilas Arai at all. Vafil B'davar Shlo Nigmar Malachto, even if there's been no Gemar Malacha, O Dilma B'davar Shlo Nigmar Malachto, Kava B'davar Shlo Nigmar Malachto, Lo Kava. Or maybe no, maybe Shabbos functions similar to the way a Chatzar functions, that just like a Chatzar creates, generates a Chi of Chumas and Maestros only when there's been a Gemar Malacha, so too maybe Shabbos only generates a Chiv of Chumas and Maestros only when there's been a Gemar Malacha. So Malay, so Rav Nachman responded, Shabbos Kavas, Bein B'davar Shalom Gemar Malachto, Bein B'davar Shalom Gemar Malachto. Shabbos is Kavaya regardless whether there's been a Gemar Malacha or not. If you designated for Shabbos, it's Aser even after Shabbos, and even if you didn't designate it for Shabbos, if you want to eat from it on Shabbos, that itself is Kavaya for Meiser. So Malay, Rav said, since you answered this Shaila from Svara just on your own, you should have said you didn't bring any rayas, so I would have said the opposite. Vema Shabbos dumi d'chatzer, that if you're really looking for precedent, the only thing that's similar to Shabbos that's kovel the meiser is chatzer. So it should really follow the same rules as chatzer. Ma chatzer in a kovel sal b'davar shenig mamlachto. Av Shabbos lo tekovel b'davar shenig mamlachto. So amalei limud aruch hu biyadenu shah Shabbos kovel sal b'davar shenig mamlachto b'davar shenig mamlachto. No, I understand you want to compare it to chatzer, but I have a tradition from my rebbeim limud aruch hu biyadenu. That's what we understand means a tradition from my rebbeim. It's not the same as halacha l'moshe m'sinai where you can't question at all. But I have a long-standing tradition from my rebbeim that's the power of Shabbos. That Shabbos can be koveya achiv of Trumas HaMaisos, whether it's had a Gemar Malacha or not. Is that also the power of Yom Tov? Meaning, would you say the same thing about Yom Tov? Or is that only the power of Shabbos? So the Tzlach has a suffix if it's Dafka on Shabbos, that we assume Shabbos koveya HaMaisos, or Yom Tov also. Because the Gemara said, what's unique about Shabbos? Why is Shabbos koveya? The Karasal of Shabbos Oneg. Is there any din called Oneg Yom Tov, meaning there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov? Is that enough? Is that enough to create a sense of kviyas? Why not? Why wouldn't Simchas Yom Tov be? Because we know how you fulfill Simchas Yom Tov. You fulfill Simchas Yom Tov with basar by eating meat. Basar is not something that's chayv in Shumas Maestros anyway. So there's no, but oneg is whatever you enjoy. So you enjoy cake that's made with grain. So that makes sense that Shumas Maestros should relate to the mitzvah of oneg Shabbos. There's a question whether there's such a din called oneg Yom Tov. That's what someone told me, that Daniel Feldman has a list of svarim that he calls it svarim that may not exist. What he means is that the title of the sefer may be something that is a concept that doesn't exist. So there's a sefer called Oneg Yom Tov. I don't know what else is on the list, but the Oneg Yom Tov may or may not exist. There may or may not be such a thing called Oneg Yom Tov. So that's a suffix that the Tzlach has. Pnei Yeshua at the very end of the Masechta and Daf Mem writes Pepshitos that it's Dafka Shabbos that's Koveya and not Yom Tov that's Koveya. Sfasemis wants to be Mechadish though, that if you made matzah from Tevel grain that never had Rias Pnei Abayis and was never chayv in Shumas and Maisos, that the halacha is that it's mutar ba'achilas arayv but not ba'achilas keva, you're not yotzi the mitzvah of matzah with it, because matzah's mitzvah is koveya lemaiser. Meaning if oneg Shabbos is enough to be koveya, so the mitzvah of matzah should for sure be enough to be koveya. So that might be an exception, even though it's only on the Yom Tov. So Amar Mar Zutra, Breder of Nachman, Afana Nami Tanina. We have a raya from our Mishnah that Shabbos is koveya lemaiser even when it's not yet a Gemar Malacha. Why? Because it says in our Mishnah, Voda Erev Shabbos b'Shviyas, a person could be standing over the Muktzah on Erev Shabbos during the Shemitah year. So time of the Shviyas lav barisurihu. The whole setup of our Mishnah was that it happened to be a Shemitah year where there's no Chiv v'Trumas HaMaisos anyway. But HaBishar Shnei Shavuah HaChinam Dasu sounds like had this same story happened in any of the other years of the Shemitah cycle. shekel, it's going to be usher to eat it, even though on Erev Shabbos he said, mikana niyochel amachar. Why? Because apparently there's a Trumas HaMaisos problem. My time, why is it that in the rest of the years, Yechayiv and Trumas HaMaisos, it didn't have Rias Pnei HaBayis yet, so it shouldn't be Chayiv HaMaiser. And even in the Bayis, it's not Nikva B'Maiser unless it came in the normal way and it had a Gemar Malacha. So over here, when it came in, it was not Nikva because it was not didn't have a Gemar Malacha yet. So La Mishum De Shabbos Kava, isn't it because of the power of Shabbos? That Shabbos is Kaveh L'Maisos, whether it had a Gemar Malacha or it didn't have a Gemar Malacha. So you see, an Afna Raya, says Gemar Lo, it's not a Raya. That's not the reason that the Muksa becomes Chayiv and Maiser. Shabbos is not really Kaveh by something that's not Nigmar Malacha. But Shiny Hustle, in the case of the Mishnah, is different because the reason it became Chayv and Maestros, would have been Chayv and Maestros had it not been Shemitah, is Kivin Damar Mikan and Yochel Amachar. By making that statement that I'm going to eat from this tomorrow, so you're making an explicit statement that you want this for Achila, Kavalei Lavei. You've made a statement of Kvius that you want to eat it. That's what's Koveya. It's not the Shabbos that's Koveya. Iyachi Mayer Yashabbos. So it says, if that's the basis, then why does the Mishnah say that we're talking about Shabbos, Afilu B'chol Nami, by saying, I want to eat from this tomorrow. That itself is Kaveya, whether it's Shabbos or a weekday. So how come Ashman? No, the reason it says Shabbos is to tell me, it wants to tell me another Chiddush, Agav, the din of the Mishnah, the Tevel Mukhan Uetzel Shabbos, Shem Avar Mesukan, that the Tevel is considered Mukhan for Shabbos, that if a person comes and violates the Isra of being Mafresh, Trumas HaMaisos on Shabbos, that B'dievet it works, that B'dievet it's Mesukan. So that's just a Stama, Halacha on the side, that the Mishnah is telling me. But otherwise, Shabbos is really irrelevant, because it's not telling me that Shabbos is what's Koveh over here. Over here, what was Koveh, the Chiv of Trumas HaMaisos, was the fellow saying that he wants to eat from this the next day. Okay, Ben Shem, we'll pick up at the very top of Daf Lamed Hey, Amid Aleph tomorrow. Everyone have a great day.